Okay. Vayakhel Pekudei is like really, also this year, Vayakhel and Pekudei. So it's a really nice challenge to try to find something meaningful.
Not so much Rashi.
There's not a lot of Rashi, there's not a lot of things in Vayakhel and Pekudei. And so this week, we got to take it one parish at a time. So we'll do Vayakhel this week, we'll do Pekudei next week, and we'll see what we can do. But I have a couple things for you, so I think we'll be okay. One thing, though, that just by the way, that I think that people, a lot of times you don't think about in terms of just knowing what's happening in the story. And it's really important to like consider when Parshas Vayakhel happens. Parshas Vayakhel is the culmination of this entire process that takes place from the time of Chet Egel all the way till the Jewish people are forgiven and Moshe comes down with the second Luchos, right? So there's 120 days plus that go by. Moshe Rabbeinu goes, Jewish people get the Torah of Sinai. Next day, Moshe goes up for 40 days on the mountain. He comes down. The people think he's a day late. They're doing the Chet Egel. He smashes the Luchos. Bad news. And what does he do? He goes right back up on the mountain, right, for 40 days to ask for Kapara, for the Am. Comes back down. And by the way, when he's there, at first Hashem says, no problem, I won't destroy them, but, I think we talked about this before, I won't destroy them, but I'm not coming. Hashem says, I'm going to send a malach. This is the part of the story we don't really like focus on as much. Says, oh yeah, Hashem, Moshe went up and he did shuva, but it was good, but it wasn't that fast. He goes up, Hashem says, fine, I won't destroy them, but I'm not coming. I'll send a malach who will take you into Eretz Yisrael, but I'm not coming with you. And the people get very upset, and they cry, and they take off the crowns that they were given in Har Sinai. It's like a very like emotional, Moshe goes, is like talking to Hashem at the Ohel Moed, whatever that is, and like the people watch him, but they're not able to come close. It's like a very, there's this distance that now has been created between the people and Hashem, even though Hashem has agreed not to destroy them. So, but then Moshe says, we can't handle that, it's too upsetting. And he goes back up, and he fights with Hashem again, more that he should take us back all the way, right? And when what finally happens is he goes back up in the mountain again for 40 more days, carves out the second set of Luchos himself, right, by hand, and he goes through the whole process of Kabbalah Satorah again, culminating with what day?
Yom Kippur,
right? Yeah, Shavuos is the first Kabbalah Satorah. And Yom Kippur, it ends on Yom Kippur. Is actually right. The Yud Zayin B'Tammuz, Shavuot B'Tammuz, is the day of the Chet Egel, and all that time later culminates with the day of Yom Kippur, which is the day of the ultimate Slicha V'Kapara, right? Because it's the first time, it's the first Tshuva process. It's culminated on that very first Yom Kippur when Am Yisrael are forgiven. They get the second set of Luchos. Right. So that's what's happened all this time, basically from Yisro all the way through to Parshas Vayakhel. You're going to say, but what about the whole command to give the Mishkan, to build the Mishkan? So that's where Rashi and the Ramban have a big machlokas, was the Mishkan, because Hashem, Moshe comes down that day. Well, you know what, let's jump into source number one. And this is not really, I'm giving this as my way of like introduction to what we're going to talk about, but we'll see how it's related. So take a look at source number one. Vayakhel Moshe es kol hadas b'nei Yisrael v'yomer lehem. Moshe then convoked. I don't know what convoked is. I guess it means convenes. All of Am Yisrael. Vayomer lehem, he says, Eila ha'dvarim asher tziva Hashem la'asos asam. And he comes down. Again, he has just come down the mountain. They haven't seen him for another 40 days. He brought the second set of luchos, and now Moshe has something to talk to them about. What does he say? Sheishit yamim ta'aseh melacha, uvayom ha'shvi'i, yeah, lachem kodesh shabbat shabbat son lachem koloset bo melacha yumas. 6 days you should do work. On the seventh day is a day that's holy, a Shabbos for Hashem. Anyone who does melacha that day will die. Lo sevaru eish v'chol moshe v'osecham yom ha-shabbos. You shouldn't have fire at all that day. Why is he mentioned a fire? The Rambam Barbanel says because he's trying to explain the difference between Shabbos and Yantif. On Yantif you can use fire, right? You can light a fire, but you can use fire. And then what happens? And then Moshe says, okay, this is what Hashem wants from you. Now take gifts for Hashem. He's talking to him now about collecting money and items for building the... Okay. So Moshe comes down the mountain and he commands them to build the Mishkan. Why is he now commanding them to build the Mishkan? Why is that the culmination? Why is that happened right after this first Yom Kippur?
They need something to look at.
Need something to, okay, so one possibility is, and this is what some of the Rishonim say, it's a concession. Right, the Mishkan is a concession to the fact that Am Yisrael clearly for the Chet Egel showed that they needed something physical, and Hashem never intended to have a Mishkan, and it's only after the Chet Egel that Hashem commands it. This is where you have a big machlokes in Rashi and the Ramban, was the story of Truman Tetzaveh. Is that before Kisisa? Right? Is that the order that we have it? That Hashem is commanding the Mishkan, that's part of what we're always going to do? Or no, is it really out of order? That really the Chet Egel happened first, right? And then as a response, Hashem commands Moshe Truma Tetzava on Har Sinai, the last time. And then when Moshe comes in, he goes, okay, got a new thing, call it the Mishkan. That's a Machlokas Rashi in the Ramban. Was it a response, or was it always meant to be that way? But either way, once Hashem comes down, once Moshe comes down, and he reconvenes the people, he says, time to build a Mishkan, the Ramban writes, it was a way of, right, Vasuli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Socham, to build a mishdash, and I'm now going to be with you. Why is that so important? Because what Hashem said before, I'm not coming. He has said before, I'm sending a malach, I'm not coming with you. So this command of the Mishkan is like so heartwarming in a certain sense. And Ramban writes in very beautiful language. They like return to their like original place, and they're so like, you know, this love that Hashem has for the people. And that's what, that's the goal in a certain sense, or the reason why we now have this Mishkan, okay, as a way of like bringing Hashem back into the nation and showing us that He wants us back. Okay, great. If that's what's supposed to happen here, someone tell me a problem with what we read in source number one.
What does Shabbos have to do with anything?
We like took a little detour.
Right.
Right? Again, you are trusting me that I say that the whole goal here is the Mishkan to bring us back, which I didn't make up. The Ramban says that. But if that's true, like what are we starting with the Mishkan for? Oh, sorry, with Shabbos for? Sheishi Shabim Tase. Right? Eila Hadvar Mesher Tziva Hashem Lasosa. This is what Hashem wants you to do. And he's like, okay, so you got to keep Shabbos.
But you know how to be
Mechal Shabbos. Okay. Good. So we know that this whole concept of Shabbos and Melecha Shabbos, the Isser of 39 Melechas and all that to do on Shabbos, comes from the Melechas HaMishkan, right? That's where it comes from, right? How do we know where it comes from? It's from here. There are actually four examples in the Torah where the Torah, right, places, juxtaposes the Melechas HaMishkan with Shabbos. Like in source number two, I brought you one other example. There's actually four times when it happens. Source number two is actually last week in Parshas Kisisa. Vesbigdei Astrada, Vesbigdei Akosh La'aron HaKohen, Vesbigdei Vanav L'Chahein, talking about the big day, the begadim for the Kohen Gadol. Veshemen HaMishcha, Veskataras HaSavim LaKodesh, Kechol Esher Tivizicha Yasu, they should do all the things that we commanded you about how to have the Shemen and the Ketores and all the different things we're going to use. Vayomer HaShem HaMoshal Emor, V'yata Dabri Al B'nei Yisrael Emor, Ach Es Shabso Sai Tishmoru. What is Ach? How do you translate the word ach?
However, but,
right? Ach always comes, ach, the Chazal say, ach chilek. Ach always tells me that there's something to remember. Wait a second, right? Like we need to, even though you're going to do this whole thing, building the Mishkan, don't forget to keep Shabbos. Right? So, why? Ki osi b'ni b'neichem l'doro seichem l'adas ken yi Hashem b'kadeshchem, to know, because it's a special sign between me and your children, for generations, to know that I am Hashem who makes you holy. And Shema Shemesh Shabbos, and that's actually right afterwards, Vishamu B'nai Salsa Shabbos, all comes right there in Parashat Kisisa. Also, very funny, but I got it. Hashem doesn't say, build the Mishkan, and ach, make sure, don't eat chazer. Who said that? Doesn't say that. Right? Why not? Says Rashi, source number three, Sheshes Yamim, Hiktim Lahem Azharas Shabbos, Letzivoy Melechas HaMishkan. Hashem took, this is in Parshas Vayakel, Hashem, before he talks about Melechas HaMishkan, he first talks about Shabbos. Why? Lomar She'ina Doches HaShabbos. So tell me that building the Mishkan cannot happen on Shabbos. Okay? And a similar Rashi, source number 4, this is the Rashi in Parshat Ki Sisa. V'yata dabrei b'nei Yisrael, v'yata af al pisha hivkiditicha litzavosam amalachta ha-mishkan. Right? Even though, let's just say malachas ha-mishkan. Even though I've told you, Moshe, to tell them to build a Mishkan, al yakel be'inecha litchos es ha-shabbos. Do not make Shabbos weak or lax in your eyes to push off, right? To push it off and play osa malacha in place of that malacha, meaning you will not do any of this. All the things I'm commanding you to do, you do not do on Shabbos. Right? Why aches Shabbos society shmoru? Says Rashi, af al pisha ti yu redufin uzrizim bezrizus. Even though you should be like running after, so excited to do the malachas ha-mishkan, Shabbos al tidcha mipaneha. Do not knock off Shabbos in its place. Ko'achin verakin mi'utin. Right? Ach always tells me to me mimai, lema'it Shabbos. Shabbos is excluded from malachas ha-mishkan. So it is very clear, from Rashi at least, and many others, quoting Chazal, that this distinction here, or placing this juxtaposition of Shabbos and the Mishkan, comes to teach me that I can't do Malachas HaMishkan on Shabbos. Fine. And that's where we get also, right, this idea in general, that the 39 Avos Malachos, the 39 things you don't do on Shabbos, come from the Malachos that were done for the creation of the Mishkan. It's not random. Why is that? Why do those two things go together? How do I know? How does this conversation teach me that the 39, the things you can't do on Shabbos are the things that are done to build the Mishkan? This is not like some super trick question.
No, but it is like, it's slightly, I know, I'm like trying to get to the logic.
What's
a
the point?
Strange.
No, but how do you?
They're just side by side.
But what's the commandment?
Yeah, meaning it's saying you can't do it on Shabbos.
Can't do what?
Is it? It's the malacha of the Mishkan. So that's what it, malachot of Shabbos.
Bingo.
Are.
Exactly. Meaning it's a little circular, right?
Circular,
but
yeah,
meaning when you put the two together, what do you say? Oh, yeah. Make sure you build your Mishkan. Don't do it on Shabbos. So Chazal say, wait a second.
What does it mean? Wait.
I can't do this on Shabbos. These are the things I can't do on Shabbos. Right? If the Torah goes out with it so many times to tell me, and make sure not to build a Mishkan on Shabbos, it sounds like there was nothing excluded. Well, it's like, well, this you can do on Shabbos from the Lechaz of Mishkan. No, not none of them. Oh, so let's figure out what were all the things that were done to build a Mishkan. All of those things are forbidden on Shabbos. The Chiddush, I guess, is that only those things. Right, there's nothing else. Right, so Chazal learn out the Gemara and Shabbos.
We make it pretty broad.
What is that called?
Gives us
circular. What was that?
Inductive reasoning. I made that up.
Is that what it is?
I don't know. Maybe.
Oh,
I'm not so good at that stuff.
Is there another example of that in the Torah?
There are a lot. Yeah.
The Gemara does
probably.
A lot. You're saying.
Yeah. We always that every Mishnah that's taken apart by the Gemara is like, you said this. So when you said this, you didn't say that. So right, but it's that's the implication. Oh, that's the implication. But the Gemara, the Chazal have that we have already in the Mishnah, the 39 Avos Malachos, which are listed all in the Gemara and Shabbos, the Fine Gimel. So, fine. Okay, that's all very nice and good. And that's where we get this idea of no Malach on Shabbos, and these specific Malachos you don't do on Shabbos. We have lots of books about the 39 Avos Malachos. Many, many of them, they fill the libraries of our houses. Great. Okay. There's a problem, though. Why?
Why what? Why can't we do those malachas on Shabbos?
Why can't I build a Mishkan on Shabbos?
Right.
Oh, Hashem, what's so crazy? Malachas and Mishkan's a beautiful mitzvah. Why can't that be done on Shabbos? A lot of other things there's a lot of other things I can do on Shabbos that are mitzvahs. I do other mitzvahs on Shabbos. Why can't I do this one? You're like, okay, it's Shabbos. Like, of course not.
Right.
But pretend you didn't know that. Right. Why is Hashem makes, and it's a big deal. It quotes it to 4 times. Right? Yeah.
I just wanted to say, like, before all this, doesn't Hashem know that we can't handle it? Like, what's going to happen? So it's kind of like putting us in the position.
Which? What do you mean? The Eagle?
Yeah.
Mishkan? Yeah, what do you mean?
No. Okay. Let me just try to recordings
on that. Yeah, that's good. Ready? Hold on. Okay. So why would Hashem place in the position to make such a terrible mistake? So there's a great Rambam. There's a great Rambam in Aravid in the Kesef Mishnah, which I'll tell you just fast. It's not exactly what we're here to talk about, but it's so amazing and so powerful. It doesn't totally answer your question, but it's related. The Rambam raises the question. He says, Hashem, this is like apparently a philosophical problem. I don't have these problems because I'm not such a philosopher. So like, it's like sometimes it's helpful not to be quite as like, you know, sophisticated, because then these things don't bother you as much. But people who are really sophisticated and philosophical, probably you guys, so it might bother you. But people say like, so Rambam raises the question. He says, how could it be that, he says in the Mishnah Torah, he says, how could it be that Hashem, it's in the Hilchos Teshuvah, he says, how could it be that Hashem knows what we're going to do and gives us free will? It's not free will. Hashem already knows what we're going to do. Right? It doesn't make any sense. So he asks the question. It's a good question. And he says, I don't know. It's too hard for me. He goes, we don't understand Hashem. Hashem's Hashem. We pretend that he has has a level of sophistication like us, like human beings. Hashem is much more sophisticated than us. His understanding of the world is way different than we can possibly fathom. And like some things we don't get. And the Ravid, who's on the page of the Rambam, goes crazy on the Rambam. He says, how could you say such a thing? He goes, you're gonna raise questions for people. They're going to become non-believers in Hashem. You're raising questions without giving answers. What are you doing? Just write nothing. If you have nothing good to say, just say nothing. We're raising questions without giving answers. And the Kesef Mishnah, who is actually Yosef Karo, who later writes the Shulchan Aruch, he writes, no, that's exactly the point. He says, you know why the Rambam raised the question and didn't give an answer? So that everyone who follows the Rambam and reads the Rambam for generations will know that even the Rambam sometimes didn't know the answer. And there are some things we don't know the answer to. That's also okay. There are things that we don't have an answer for everything. Even the Rambam. Rashi writes all the time, Eini Yodea. Rashi can write nothing. He writes instead Eini Yodea. Right? So that's just an important piece to this. But why he does, the answer is I don't really know.
That's a great answer, thank you.
But there is a wild Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and I want to correct it correctly, I think I'm correct, that almost says something like, Hashem sort of, like, wanted the Chet HaEgel to happen, sort of. It doesn't say exactly like that, but almost like that. He kind of knew it was going to happen, and it was kind of like, okay with it, to a certain extent. Meaning that there's a certain growth process that happens through those mistakes, even though in a certain sense we pay for the Chet HaEgel forever in a certain sense. But there's also a big value in these mistakes happening, and we learn from them. And that's why Hashem allows us to make all kinds of mistakes that we make every single day. He could step in, right? If he wanted to, take away our free will. He doesn't, but he could. He doesn't, right? It's sort of the same thing on a national level, allow them to make this mistake. And then, by the way, what's the Mishkan? As many point out, every time we read Vayakha Pekudei, especially Pekudei, what does it say over and over again? Every time they do what the Mishkan was supposed to be, it says, Kasher Tziva Hashem. I say that a million times. Why? And many of the professionals point out, as opposed to the Chet HaEgel, where they did what they wanted, they now had this physical, you know, this physical thing to use for their Avodas Hashem, but it was Kasher Tziva Hashem. It was what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to. So they were able to participate and do something physical and have what they wanted and get this, you know, this vehicle for their Avodas Hashem, but they did it in the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had commanded them to. And that becomes a tikkun. Right, it fixes the mistake of the Chet HaEgel.
So there's a value. Avram even eat matzah on Pesach?
The Chazal say that Avram kept every mitzvah in the Torah, whatever that means. The Gemara says that. Right, so we don't know what that means exactly. But yes, they do say that.
That certainly precedes, you know, Egypt experience.
Right. Okay, so but let's get back to our other question, which is, what's the big deal? Why can't we build a Mishkan on Shabbos?
Because then we're not going to be with Hashem. If Hashem is coming down to be with us on Shabbos, and he's saying, I'm going to come down to be with you.
Yeah.
He doesn't want us caught up in...
So we won't have time for like Kiddush and like Zmiros.
He could have made a time. He's distracted by... Like the reason for building the Mishkan is to be closer to Hashem.
Okay.
And if we're caught up in the physical elements of it, we're going to... Perhaps we might forget what we're really working on.
Okay, what could one counter?
And some of the sacrifices were related to the whole Shabbos too.
Some of the sacrifices were done on Shabbos. Yeah, there were some, right, there were some malachos that were, you know, when it comes time to use the Mishkan, which are, you know, pushed aside for Shabbos, that is true. But I'll make the opposite argument. If Shabbos is about Hashem, the Shekhinah coming to our house. When you see, Soloveitchik talks about that. The idea that Shabbos comes to visit us on Shabbos. Right? The Shekhinah comes. Shalom Aleichem, Malachi Hashareis. Right? L'chadodi likras kala p'nei Shabbos mekab. Right? That's the Shekhinah comes to visit us on Shabbos. So what is a better thing to do on Shabbos than build a Mishkan? The place where Hashem is going to come in. No?
You have Menucha Shabbos too.
Okay.
I mean,
we define
Menucha
as
Midrabanan.
but it's going backwards. We're defining menucha as not doing it. Maybe we could.
I'm just saying, if the Melech HaShabbos is not just like hammers and nails, it's a spiritual process. You could have very easily, you could have made an easy argument that it should take place on Shabbos. Maybe it should only take place on Shabbos. Right, it's that is the time for Hashras Hashkinah, Hashem to come into our lives. So shouldn't I do it on Shabbos?
If we're commemorating, if Shabbos is in part commemoration of Hashem's world, universe building process, where Sheshes Yamim he does all this stuff,
okay,
and on Shabbos he rests.
So then we should be doing the same thing.
We're working on the Mishkan. We are a micro but parallel scale. Building something, and then on the seventh day,
he OC. Because if you want, that's a pretty good argument, right? Because if it's an OC, right, it's a symbol. Right, that Hashem worked for 6 days, then that seventh day he rested. Okay, that's a fair argument. I like that. That's not bad.
Building the Mishkan could be a part of preparation for Shabbos, and then you stop.
And then you stop. Right.
But it's part of preparing. You
know, right.
We don't keep preparing for Shabbos on Shabbos.
Right. Except that in this case, it wasn't ready yet, the Mishkan. So then I'm going into Shabbos, right. And my Mishkan is not ready yet, right? So for a long time.
I don't know. It's a mindset thing.
Okay. So we're going to see a couple answers. Okay. Couple other answers. Okay. Take a look at the Barbanel, source number 5. This I was searching for this Barbanel. I sort of found it, but I'm not sure I totally found it. But we'll see. He says something meaningful in source number 5. Barbanel always asks like 100 questions, and then he like provides this answer. So he asks like 6 or 7 questions related to this, and he says the following. Let's see if you can help me try to take this apart. And then I have a couple other ideas for you. Okay, says the Barbanel, source number 5, at the end of the line. For line 1. Lefishet Siva Yisparach Alasiyas HaMishkan, the Kelev. Hashem commanded us to build the Mishkan and its Kelim, its utensils. Shehayim Mora Al Dveikos Hashem Yisparach. Visharash Shechina Sabuma, right? What is the goal of the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash? That Hashem should dwell amongst us in the world. Haya efsha sheyachshav adam, a person might have thought, shapal hahu haya yoser nichbad mikol apulos hatorios. I might think, what is the goal of building a Mishkan? To bring Hashem into this world. So what I think is the greatest mitzvah in the world is building a Mishkan, bringing Hashem into the world. That's my job. Right? Kiddushim shemayim, the people should notice Hashem in the world. So what's a greater thing to do in any mitzvah in all of the Torah than to build a Mishkan? Right, and much better than just doing nothing on Shabbos. What do we usually want to do? We don't just want to be passive. I don't want to sit around and do nothing. I want to do something constructive. What's more constructive to bring Hashem into this world than to build a Mishkan? It's a good. It's a nice thought. I would have thought to say, right? Right. That's what I thought. So he says, "Vulai." You skip a few words down. "Vulai shemi pnei ze yavo yisol lachshov shem lechas haMishkan tirche es haShabbos." That's why I might think, right, that the lechas haMishkan would knock off Shabbos. Mitzuraf el hayos haMaisa yoser meir al emuna imashi yadilav habitov haShvisa meapol. To do something much greater than doing nothing. Fine, and that's why he says to him, "Ulakach," right, "Ulakach yomar." HaOmer sheyaspik melechas haMishkan lahair ulahair al haYosit barach mikdashenu v'shochem b'tochenu v'shohu barei olam. Right, so he says. So what did Hashem have to command? Therefore, he had to command, right, that we should stop that work, right? As what? As a testimony that Hashem is, right? Hashem is in our mikdash, right? But where is he really? V'shochem b'tochenu. Where is he really? He's in us. That's a nice, fluffy word, right? But it's the Barbanel, right? That I recognize, right? What's the difference between Hashem being in the Mishkan and being in us? I don't need. I stop for a minute. I'm building a Mishkan, which I say, oh, that's where Hashem's going to live. And what's the reminder?
No, Hashem.
That's not where Hashem's going to live. Hashem's going to be anywhere. Hashem doesn't have to be there.
Which is particularly meaningful coming on the heels of what they did with the Eyal. Like, yes, perhaps it's a concession, perhaps it was lechachila, but right. Like, I'm letting you have a Mishkan, but remember, even if I'm there, where am I really?
Right,
but
right.
Wouldn't it imply that the 6 days a week he would be in the Mishkan and only on the seventh
correct.
Day with them?
Correct. Like but the idea... But the point is, the Barbanel is saying, that's why I might think, like I was saying before, like it makes sense to do this, but why not? To remind them that it's not all about the Mishkan. It's not only Mishkan, right? And that there's a way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes into our lives even without it. He doesn't say it as explicitly. He says it a little bit. But it's a very important point, right? Take a look at the Rav, source number 6. Or Soloveitchik, this is Nechumash Mesoros HaRav, which I've showed you before. So he writes a similar idea, right? What is the nature of these intertwined concepts, these two things, Mikdash and Shabbos? The answer is fundamental. Both Shabbos and the tabernacle, the Mishkan, constitute sanctuaries. One is a sanctuary in time, while the other is a sanctuary in space. God wants Jews to Got it, right? This is the first time I have a good... It's my first time I have a good title. God wants Jews to establish a residence for him both in space and in time. The Jew has prepared properly for the Shabbos and is about to light his candles, finds himself in the same position as the Jew of 2,000 years ago preparing to enter the sanctuary. What's the point? Hashem wants to remind us that we don't need Mishkan or Mikdash to have Vishachanti Pesachim. Obviously, that's the ideal. The ideal is to have Mikdash. We want a Mikdash. Mikdash shows Hashem to the entire world. There's the value of Mikdash is immeasurable. But in its absence, we shouldn't forget that there is a way to bring a Kadosh Baruch Hu into our lives without it. Right? On the one hand, infinity separates the human being from God. On the one hand, we have like no, we're so different from Him. On the other hand, God is imminent and close to His people. Through tzimtzum, self-contraction, God squeezed infinity into finitude and chose to dwell among human beings, first in the Mishkan and later in the Beis Hamikdash. So anyone who told you that the Rebbe Soloveitchik was not a chassid, so the Rebbe Soloveitchik was taught as when he was a young boy, he was taught by a Chabad Melamed. Uh-huh. So he had a lot of Chabad philosophy that he had internalized and used, and even there's stories about how he wanted to teach Tanya to his Talmidim, they didn't want to hear it, but that he had a lot of that in him also. Not surprising that his daughter Atara ends up marrying Rabbi Yitzchak Twersky, who was the Talmud Rebbe, right? So she just passed away, right? Rabbi Yitzchak Twersky just a couple weeks ago. So that line, I asked her, Rabbi Twersky, Rabbi Meir Twersky, their son was sitting shiva this week with my Rebbe, so I went to visit him, and someone asked him like, what was this difference between like the chassid and the misnagid in your family? You know, like Rabbi Satursky was a Soloveitchik and his father was a chassid. And he was like, oh, I was like, almost no difference. He said there was the same. Midas HaEmes, he said, they lived the life of truth. There's some minhagim here or there, you know, but for the most part, it wasn't a clash at all, mm-hmm. You know. But bottom line being, right, I'm just showing the Hashem contracts himself into the Mishkan. Shabbos embodies a similar idea. On Friday night, Hashem pays us a visit. Lechadodi represents the Shechina knocking on our door. The festivals and Shabbos are different. This is an idea that Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say a lot, which is that, why is it that we go to the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Tif, but we don't go to the Beis HaMikdash? There's no Aliyah Regel for Shabbos. So he said, because Shabbos is the Shechina comes to visit us. Right. On Yom Tif, we go to visit HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? So there's no Kabbalah Shabbos. That's why on a Yom Tif night, you don't say Kabbalah Shabbos, because that's not what we do. We're not really supposed to be taking that Shechina into our house. We're supposed to go to Him. Right? But Shabbos represents Hashem comes to visit us. Right? That's what the Shechina shows up in our homes. Right? The Shechina of the Mikdash was of a transcendental nature. At the end of Parshas Pekudei, as soon as the Mishkan was completed, a cloud of glory hovered over it by day and pillar of fire by night. The Shechina was both a physical light and a spiritual experience. It was outside of nature and defied the laws of causality. For the Mishkan was nothing less than an ongoing miracle that transcended natural order. The idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be in a place is actually sort of impossible, right? Hashem, it's possible because Hashem can do it. But it doesn't make any sense, right? Hashem being in a space. Shabbos also demonstrates God's presence, but on a natural level. Just as God reveals himself through his transcending causal order via supernatural miracles, God also reveals himself in the order of nature. Right, so the point being that by having Mishkan and Shabbos are two important values, right? The kedusha of a place and the kedusha of time, right? Kedusha says zman. So the point being, Hashem says, I don't want you to think that the kedusha of any one place is that important that it can override the kedusha of zman. And that's why Hashem says, on Shabbos, no malacha. On Shabbos, you don't build a Beis HaMikdash. Yes, for 6 days you do. Right, we should remember there are certain places that are more kadosh than other places. This room is more kadosh than that room, Right? There's a kedusha that comes into certain places. There's a makkah. It's a makkah mashchina. It's definitely true, right? The Harabayis is different than Tel Aviv. It's not the same, right? There are places that have kedusha. Hashem comes to certain places in a certain way, but we should never make the mistake in thinking I can only find Hashem if I go to a certain place. Right? I can always have I can find Hashem every week, right? In Shabbos, fine. So that's one answer. That's one answer to the question. Yeah. But maybe that's the answer, to be honest. But something you want to say?
Alana's uncomfortable.
Yeah, what do you got, Alana? What do you got?
No, I'm just trying to understand it. I'm just, we're not saying that the Kedusha of Zman is holier than the, are we saying that?
I don't think we're saying the Kedusha of Zman is necessarily holier than the Kedusha of a Makom, necessarily. Oh, okay. Not necessarily. But there's a value in this case of Hashem saying to separate the two. And maybe we shouldn't think. I'm thinking out loud as you're saying this.
When they collide,
Hashem is saying Kedusha of Zman wins.
Yeah.
Does that mean that's greater? I don't know. But maybe what he's saying is, maybe the message more is that I shouldn't make the mistake to think that Kedushas HaMakom always wins. Right? Doesn't necessarily mean that Kedushas HaZman is better. I don't know. I'm not sure.
I don't know. Yeah.
I'm not sure. But that time beats out space? I don't know.
But it
transcends. Time transcends space.
Yeah.
Right? So in that sense, if I just rely on space, the Kedusha of space, it's very dangerous, actually. Right? This relates to another idea we've said many weeks ago. We've said it actually, I don't think, multiple times. The idea that when Yaakov Avinu goes to sleep at the Makom HaMikdash, and he says, "Wow, Man Aram Makom Hazeh, Ein Zeh Hakim Beis Elokim V'Zeh Shaar Shamayim. Wow, this place is an amazing place." And Rashbam says, "What was that place?" He says, against all of Chazal who say that was the Makom HaMikdash, he says it was a place called Luz, the place that the Torah says it is, right? And we quote from Emma Golden who says that's exactly the point. Yaakov is heading out of Eretz Yisrael, right? And what's he nervous about? If I'm not in a Makom Kadosh, what's going to happen to me? If I can't be in a place, right, that's kadosh, I'm going to be lost. And what's Hashem's response? No, I'll be with you wherever you go. And he specifically gives him an experience of connecting to Hashem, not in the Makom HaMikdash, in some random place, right? Why? To show him he doesn't need Kedushas HaMakom all the time. Kedushas HaZman can, a Kedusha can be found anywhere, right? And at any time. Even though there are certain times that are more kadosh, like Shabbos is more kadosh than other times.
No matter where we are, the time, Shabbos comes.
No matter what.
No matter what.
Can't hold it off.
It doesn't matter. The place.
You know what that's like.
To do with it.
Right?
No.
Yes.
If the world was ended, we would still have Shabbos.
Right? But we wouldn't, it's dark. We wouldn't know, but yeah.
It's Shabbos in Australia when it's not Shabbos.
That's different, yeah. But I'm saying, like, anyone who's ever been stuck somewhere for Shabbos knows that experience of Shabbos will come when Shabbos comes. Whether you like it or not, you may not be in the place where you want to be, right? And that's the challenge of Shabbos, but it's also the power of Shabbos. In that sense, it's the power of a Shabbos that descends on us, no matter what.
And that's the only thing that we don't declare. We declare the new moon, we declare the holidays.
Right.
We have nothing to do with Shabbos. No matter what we do,
Shabbos comes on its own.
Shabbos. That's from Hashem.
Right. But the truth is, I'm glad you said that. But the truth is, it does connect also. And by the way, let's bring this full circle. If you want to explain to Am Yisrael, who have now come out of Mitzrayim, and they made their first mistake with the Chayta Egel, which was a mistake of, I need something physical to make me feel connected to Hashem. Without that thing, I'm stuck. I have nothing. I can't. Right? I'm useless. I cannot connect to Hashem without that item in front of me, in their case, the eagle. So Hashem says, I'll give you the item. First of all, I'll give it to you, Kasher Tziva Hashem. I'll give you exact dimensions. You make it exactly how I say, and you can have that. But he tells them something else. Make sure not to build that thing on Shabbos. Because if you build it on Shabbos, then what are you going to think? That it's all about that thing. It's all about that place. And you can make a mistake in thinking that you can never connect without that thing. Right? And then at times in your history where that thing will go away, you'll think it's over, which would happen to Klal Yisrael at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, right? There was this feeling of like absolute, we're just lost. We have nothing, right? And that's when Rabbi Akiva, who comes and says, don't worry, you have your Baruch Shalom. He didn't go away. He's not in that space anymore. That space is gone, right? But you still can find him even without the space, right? And that presumably is exactly the point. Ach eshav sosai tishmoru. Over and over, four different times in the Torah. Chalila v'chas. Achiv misa. Capital, it's a capital crime to do melechas and mishkan on Shabbos. There's nothing as serious, right? Okay, eating chametz on Pesach, right? But there's very few things that are as serious, like karis, right? But there's very few things as serious as melecha Shabbos, right? For, again, partly, at least for this reason, because it drives home that message that we wouldn't chalila v'chas think that I'm stuck if I don't have that makom or that item or that thing to connect to Hashem for me, right? Rather than feeling like I can actually connect to Hashem myself wherever I am, in any space, right? So I don't know, Zman, be that space. I think space alone is dangerous. Maybe it's like that. If I believe in only Kedushas Zman, only.
We should be 1/7 chassid. Like 1/7 of our neshama should be.
You could be 7/7 chassid. I wouldn't mind. That's fine too.
No, right. That's also very dangerous.
Right.
Very dangerous. That's all like.
Right. You know, but no, I'm saying whatever. But the point being, I think that fear, yeah. Right? Almost we don't call it that. Hashem doesn't have fear.
The balance.
We use a space. We have special spaces. Spaces that matter. Spaces that are different. Spaces that are unique. We need to be inspired. We have different times of the year also. To inspire. Kedushas HaZman also matters to us. Not every time is the same. The times change.
I know. We just did it.
We just did it. Right. And now we're going to do it again. Getting ready for Pesach. Right. So there is. Every Zman brings with it with a certain spiritual potential. It's all different. And that has value also. But again, to think all about the space, that I think would be dangerous. And perhaps that's really the answer here, is that, you know, we don't want to fall into that trap of thinking that if I don't have the space, then I can't find the Ribono Shel. That's not true. You know, I'm always able to find it. So I have a second idea here about Bakude, but you know what? Time is up anyways. So we will. It's the balance. There's a balance to this, which is a beautiful vort related to the Beis Hamikdash. So we're gonna do it. We'll do it next week because it takes a long time. We're gonna be way over if we do that. So Mitch Shem will talk about that next week. But I think this is something to take with us at a time when we don't always have the space that we want. We can find a Kodesh Baruch Hu either way.